is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
This is Jochen Graf.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem.
Ball's going to bounce down at three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to another episode of the Unused Substitutes live on Sato Radio. Wow. Speed bump live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Network and presented by Roughneck Scarves. Steven, I don't think I can blame that on our standard technical issues. And in fact, our little momentary delay in getting going tonight wasn't even a technical problem. I just got off the line recording this week's Pop and Smoke with Drew from Miami that I'm going to hopefully have posted tomorrow. If not, then it'd be available on Friday for our Patreon supporters. And it got a little hectic just getting everything switched over and ready and online. But here we go. Steven, we're a couple of wild and crazy guys. I noticed none of us are coated in hand sanitizer nor wearing a surgical mask. How you doing? Man. I'd say it never fails, but apparently it always fails. What's down, Steven?
Literally. Are you kidding?
There you go.
Oh.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
That's odd. All right, Steven. There you are.
I feel great. I feel great otherwise. The Rowdies have won. It's, you know, we're tied for top of the table to start the year off. This is great so far. We got rid of a couple of ugly hexes in New York, and yeah, I love it. Life is good.
We won in New York. We have fourth straight season, starting off with a road victory, which is nice because apparently we'll just be opening on the road every season now on. We won on the turf that they had. We won a close game. I don't know if that was the thing that wasn't working last year, but I'm going to pretend. It was fun. We got to go to bars and watch games and sing songs and yell about smoke and all other kinds of stuff. All right. You went to Old Northeast with the mob. I was at Shamrock with Skyway. Let's talk about the game. Red Bulls 2, Arby's also 0, your Tampa Bay Rowdies, coming for that job, Sudol, with a Leo Fernandez golazozo, maybe we'll call it that. What's your good, bad, ugly?
See, I don't like calling a good, bad, ugly and a win. I'd rather call it excellent, good, and bad. So for me, unquestionably, my excellent for the night, Leo Fernandez was standing on his head. I thought he, first of all, from what I was able to count up, I believe he attempted the most passes of the entire game. He went 20 for 34, which in and of itself isn't great. But the key is that a lot of those 20 were actually very well placed moving forward as far as being important, not just passing back. They were not, and they weren't as recorded as key passes, but just in general, he was very much the center point of the attack all day. And that absolutely stood out to me. It was pretty obvious on the broadcasting, too. That was my excellent for the night. Good. I'm going to tip my hat for good to Lewis Hilton. I was the one big question mark I have currently is our three midfielders, and I thought Hilton did a great game to start off with. He put in a ton of work defensively, which was interesting because that was not the role that I was initially anticipating him filling. But he was great in that role. I think he had something like 11 or 12 clearances. So, I mean, it was just overall, I thought he did good. He was 24 for 31 passing. I'll take that all day. I thought he was great. My bad or disappointing or whatever you want to call it. I'm in my head in a tie, but I'm going to go with Dumboya. He was pretty well invisible for very big stretches of that match. From what I can tell, 11 for 23 passing for the game. Think about that. 11 completed passes for the game. Of that, it was split 7 in the first half, only 4 in the second. Now, keeping in mind, of course, that he's not necessarily our, you know, starting right, you know, wing back. He is the backup officially, if you consider it that way. So I'm not putting a ton of stock into the performance as far as how that affects the team, since he's not necessarily who we would envision for that role. That was my only disappointing / bad moment for the match.
All right, so if I had to mix it, I'm going to stick with good, bad, ugly because I'm a creature of habit and that's my habit. Good, pretty much everything. We won the game. Leo gets a goal in front of his friends and family. Jake gets to see the Rowdies win in New York. There's a huge amount of Rowdies fans, not traveling Rowdies fans as far as like traveling from Tampa Bay up there, but there is a large number of Rowdies fans to greet the guys for the first road game. And we got off to a good start. We're, you know, sixth overall right now because of goal difference and alphabets, but doing a lot better than, say, Sporting KC, Atlanta United 2, Red Bulls 2, North Carolina FC, Memphis, and the Miami, which they are actually, I just noticed that they are doing that in the standings. They are listed as the Miami FC. Currently in 17th place at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, going into this weekend's game. Bad. You hate to see a guy come off injured in the first game of the season, Kyle Murphy. Hopefully, I haven't heard any more updates or seen anything about it. There might be stuff out there, but life is hectic right now, so I haven't seen it. Hopefully, he's doing all right, and hopefully, if he can't go on Friday, we'll have you know, someone who can step in and do that, and we're going to have this depth get questioned and tested early on. Ugly, I don't care so much about the possession stat because it's almost like, you know, we played that way, but the pass completion of like, what was it, like 54% or something like that? I have to go look it up again, like that. And again, it's early season. It was I couldn't tell if it was especially windy, but it was definitely cold because even Neil Collins put on a jacket. And you don't necessarily see that very often. Playing on the turf they have up there, guys still kind of getting used to playing with each other. So there's, I'm not going to say excuses, but there's things you can point to as things that are not going to occur every week. But still, we got to tighten up that passing a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, as you alluded to, you know, it's early in the season. And when you're looking at how you break down the season, you break it down into thirds. And we said this last year, too, right? The first third of the year, everybody's trying to work on their positioning, should I say. You know, you're just trying to get the finals of the fundamentals for the formation down. So the first third of the season is just do whatever you possibly can to get points. It's going to be scrappy. It's not going to look pretty. If you have a world-bending moment like a Junior Burgos did this weekend in USL play, I mean, that's cool, but that's not necessarily the expectation. you're trying to hit your groove when the second third of the season starts. And then when the final third comes in, at that point, you should have perfected your tactics as a unit at that point. So that way it carries you into the playoffs to play exactly the way that you want to play. As you know, and that's ideally how you want to go. We said it last year. So right now, I don't care if we start every game off as a 1-0 victory that looks like this. I'm okay with it. I'm going to give them a good like 11 or 12 game pass. And I'm good with that. I don't care in a lot of ways. I'm not really caring how ugly it might look for the first 11 games of the year.
Just as long as we win.
Just as long as we win. Exactly. Exactly.
Winning cures everything. All right, so last week we talked about maybe our predictions, our thoughts about what the starting 11 might look like, and I shockingly did not memorize your picks. Break down the starting 11 versus what you thought we might see. I feel like you were pretty close.
I was, like, really close. I actually didn't write down what I predicted for last week's thing, because I did like 2 or 3 of them last week with different shows and articles and stuff.
So now that's where you just say, oh, I got it perfect.
I could say that. I got a feeling close. I mean, maybe. Either way, it's what we thought as far as the back end. It's what we thought as far as the front end. It was pretty much what we thought would be the outside mids. It is what it is. We're just kind of seeing if Steinberger, Hilton, and Adoro work in the middle. That is still, for me, the big question mark as far as how this team plays and the tactics that we're going to use. If you notice one thing about the passing network breakdown for this game, we did not pass the ball much in the middle third of the field at all. We focused on the wings entirely, and I get the fact that that's how Neil likes to play, but the Rowdies were the most successful last year when we did games where we were attacking down the middle of the field. And so for me, I'm always going to be partial to seeing attacking play develop that way. So we'll see how this kind of blends. Like I said, they played great on the wings, but that's pretty much exclusively where they played. I will say this too. The highlight of the match to me, and I know this is going to sound really, really strange, my highlight of the match was the very, very, like, almost towards the right end of the game. There was a corner kick, we had a quick takeaway, and we started a counterattack. And the two players involved in the counterattack were the two outside defenders. Jordan Scarlett and Aaron Guillen.
Yes, I saw that.
Storming up the field by themselves in like the 90th minute of the game. What and where did that come from? That was fantastic to see that. It was a little disappointing that nobody else was there with them, but oh my God, I absolutely loved seeing the fire in both of those players to be able to endure 90 minutes for what they did, because let's face it, we were on the defensive for the good stretch of that match.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back like that, have the energy, granted it's early in the season, but it's still the end of a game. And they've been in camp for a month, so it's not like they've been taking a break up until this time. That was very, very encouraging to see. I loved having that like just random burst of energy from those two guys. I would be curious, and I would like to see that happen in the future. Of course, we'd all prefer Guillen to finish that chance, but that to me was my like strange highlight for the match. Like if I took one thing away from that game, that was it. And I know it's a little weird, but that was what stuck to my mind.
Yeah, and actually turned into a pretty good chance too. I remember putting that out in the bar at Shamrock. It was like, there's two of our top defenders are starting to like, leading the attack, passing off to each other in the box. And credit to Jordan Scott. I mean, whether this is a thing that's going to be a regular part of the game plan or if it's just Jordan trying to make an impression on his most recent club, either way, it was fun to watch. So one of the things we talked about on the show last week, and we talked about with Joe from Raising Bulls Cast, was How are they going to fill this roster out from the senior side, or as I like to call it, Red Bull Prime? Six players. They weren't all starters. I think one or two came on as subs. But six players that played this match for Red Bulls to were, you can say like fringe MLS players on the MLS roster, but guys like Stroud, guys like Mines, I think even Mule has had some minutes with the senior team. Like these are not all of these, and there's some guys making made their first appearance for Red Bull too. The keeper is not on the MLS roster, but it was his first professional match. So you did have a mix of some experienced, guys with some MLS experience, but also some new guys as well.
Yeah, there were six. I think five of them were starters, if memory serves correct. I think Egbo was the one that came on as a sub. Either way. Stroud is class. He's a kid. He's class. Fernandez is going to be class. Those are two guys without question that are going to have long professional careers, whether in Major League Soccer or elsewhere. I thought a huge problem in that game for Red Bulls too. Well, not even a problem per se, but something that, if you're in a Red Bulls perspective, Boateng going down with an injury after sitting out like all of last year with an injury, I felt horrible for him. Because that was a player that they were excited about. It was a player we mentioned a couple different times with Joe. That was somebody who they were really looking forward to seeing get some minutes this year. So hopefully, just from a professional standpoint, I hope he's not hurt long term. I will say this. There was one thing that caught my eye second half. In relation to the matchup between our guys versus these particular six, Jared Stroud was working the heck out of Mustafa Demboya in that second half. They went up against each other. I mean, granted, repeatedly, because they played on the same side of the field, but there was at least, I counted, eight different times where the two of them in the second half went one-on-one, and Stroud worked him seven of the eight times. And got a successful pass or a cross away after a dribble attempt against him. Now, granted, let's face it, Stroud is MLS quality. And that's a fringe player, but that's somebody a lot closer than the other five guys on this team. But that was something that really showcased the quality difference between MLS and a USL second stringer, for instance. So I thought that for me was the noteworthiness where it was like, you start to see where that talent shift was when you get to MLS fringe versus USL backups. That was where you start to see that quality difference. And it was in that matchup particularly that I noticed it.
All right, moving on, last but not least, man of the match. Tell me who you got. I'm going to give you the Fop Mob man of the match like we did a little bit last year. And then I'm going to give you it's not going to be necessarily my man of the match, but there's a couple guys I want to point out.
Well, if I'm predicting man of the match for myself, to me, it's hard for me not to just give it to Leo. And that's what I'm going to end up doing. I'm going to pick Leo, not because he scored the goal, though it was great. I enjoyed it. Thank you. It was fun. I'm doing it because he basically touched the ball more than like everybody else on the field. And I think that to me, that's the thing that we want to see. We want to see our main playmaker involved in the game and getting himself involved in the game. And he did that. And that was my biggest takeaway. So I'm going to give it to him, not for the goal, but for the activity he was involved with in everything else.
Leo Fernandez, your Fop Mob man of the match, 8.4 rating. I believe right after him, I want to say Evan Laura was probably the next highest rated player by Fop Mob. But here's Leo's stats. 90 minutes played, one goal, one shot inside the box, one shot outside, one shot hitting the woodwork. 41 total passes, 19 successful, completion rate of 46, three throw-ins, won nine duels, lost nine duels, won five aerial duels, lost four, attempted three dribbles, successful on one, recovered seven balls, attempted three tackles, two successfully, three clearances, three fouls conceded, and fouled twice. Overall, like you said, solid game. If I'm going to pick one person, I'm going to give it to him also. I am going to lean on the goal a little bit more because it was the difference between winning and losing. But my kind of honorable mention, and we talked a little bit about how watching these guys in the very beginning of the season was going to be important, the defense. Forrest Lasso had a really good game. I want to say something like eight clearances, possibly. Definitely came out and showed why he's why a lot of us were buzzing about him in the offseason when he was signed. So congrats to those guys. Congrats to Neil. Congrats to Jake. Congrats to all of us. We just had a damn good time. It was like, it just seems like, you know, we've been in this like eternal preseason and there's all this other stuff going on. And it's just like, you know, okay, all of a sudden regular season game is here and it was good. Other Eastern Conference results from the weekend. North Carolina FC dropped 1-0 decision to Louisville. Let's see, Memphis with the most fun game to watch over the weekend jumps out to a 2-0 lead over Indy. And then Tim Howard gives up four goals to Indy 11. I was going to tweet this, and it was going to be a very obvious subtweet to a couple people in particular. But based on some of the results from this weekend, really, soccer fans, you got to get out of this habit of someone was great like 4 years ago, they must be great now.
Yeah, you know, Howard was slow. First of all, he was just physically slow. You could see it in the way that he was playing. But he also just did not have the reach anymore. Like, you could tell that it just wasn't quite there.
Right.
His ability to get down, like, especially on the highlight goal of the whole thing, which, of course, was, what was his name? Pashlor, yeah, there you go. Like, and I know it's a weird observation, but like his leg stretch was not as wide. I went back and watched a few one-on-ones that he did going back, and like his leg stretch when he went down on the ground there was not as wide as what he had done at the prime of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's little things like that. That, I mean, you got to imagine this is a game where, like, just, you know, just like any sport, inches matter. And if, like, you know, that if you lose 6 to 8 inches of, you know, elasticity in your body, especially as a goalkeeper, that's monumental, you know? And that's the thing is, so I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see how long the whole Tim Howard in goal, you know, experiment lasts up there, because that was a pretty horrid start by all stretch.
To quote, I believe, Mike Pendleton on Twitter, I hope he sticks with this long enough for Tejada to score on him.
Yes. Yep, I said something like that too, where it's like, you know, I really hope he stays successful enough to keep playing until he plays us, but then terrible enough that we get like five goals against him.
So the other thing I'm thinking about watching is, you know, if he doesn't get his act together, the sporting director is going to have to get involved. And oh wait, that's also Tim Howard. Well,
yeah, exactly.
They might have to go over his head to one of the ownership partners. Oh wait, that's also Tim Howard.
Wait. Yeah, about that.
I don't know who Memphis's other keepers on their roster are, but does this say more about Tim or does this say more about them? That,
well, this was always something that we had said. One of the biggest things speculated in social was, did he think that he was still capable of playing, or was this more of a move of the fact they couldn't find somebody that they believed in general? I'm personally absolutely in the camp of, I think they couldn't find anybody else that they trusted, and they just like, well, Tim, do you think you can still suit up? Oh, sure. Let me go put my crutches away and let me go and, you know, try or something.
Man, it's, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I was still a little like, oh, wow, really? Other results, Philadelphia Union and Loud United. I'm just going to call them because that sounds better than Loudon. Played to a 0-0 draw. Probably a good result for both of those teams, actually. St. Louis with a 4-1 win over Miami. I discussed this with Drew from the Magic City podcast from Miami. Not necessarily a surprising result. Again, names don't mean much from in the past, and again, not in a derogatory way, but this is not the same Miami FC that was buying up every player in sight in NASL and taking some of these guys with them to NISA. This is a different squad. I mean, they've got some names, and they've went out and bought some players, but they've got a lot of young guys on this roster too. Finishing up, Atlanta 2 United 0, Charleston Battery 1. Thank you for filling those numbers in, because I forgot to come back and do that. And last but not least, SKC 2-1. This is going to get confusing. I'm just calling them WizKids. WizKids 1 and the Charlotte Independents 2. On a bye this week were Birmingham, Hartford, and Pittsburgh. All right, Stephen, it's incredibly early, and this basically means nothing, but what are the current standings in the Eastern Conference?
Well, as it stands, with that, of course, St. Louis is in first place with their major victory over, you know, the crap FC, or I don't even know what we want to call them. What do we want to call Miami? What's our funny nickname for the Miami FC? Like, because I'm at a loss. I'm not quite sure what the best way to refer to them as.
I'm just going to call them Actually Miami.
Actually Miami. Okay, I'll give you that. So, thanks to Actually Miami falling flat on their face in week one. And I don't know if it was week one jitters, but that game was awful in a lot of ways. That game was awful. Weird mistakes. Like the goalkeeper touching the ball after like he was, I think it was a goal kick or something like that. And like he kicks the ball like 3 feet and then like goes up and like passes it again or something. Like it was the most random mistakes, which by the way, that ended up leading to an indirect free kick, which ended up in the box, which ended up being a goal. So like that was one of the four goals, and it was just some weird stuff. Anyways. So yeah, St. Louis is in first place. Indy's currently in second. Those are number one and two based on goal differential. There is after that a four-way tie for third. It's Charlotte, Louisville, Charleston, and us. Loudon and Philly, of course, tied. And Birmingham and Hartford obviously had bye weeks. So that finishes out your current playoff standings.
You mentioning the indirect free kick reminds me, like, that's one of my favorite things. You don't get to see that often in soccer. Our game featured maybe my favorite thing you almost never see. A substitute being substituted. Tejada
yes.
came on for Murphy and then was substituted off later on. Lucky came on. It was a hair-for-hair substitution. Came on, and of course everyone, you know, kind of freaks at first. Not injured, just a tactical change. You almost never get to see it, but it was kind of cool to see it.
I'm going to be honest. That was a really, really strange sub in my mind, too. Like, it was the 90+1, I think, something like that. So,
right.
I mean, obviously, in some ways, it was obviously an attempt at trying to just waste time, which, of course, ended up kind of turning on him a little bit because the ref ended up playing to 4 minutes of stoppage on a game that he originally signaled for three. So the referee added on the minute because of that sub. So again, that's what you really should be doing as a referee, but not a lot of refs do it. So take that as you will. I just didn't get why in the 90+1, you're choosing to do a sub for a forward. Like, why would you not just, you know, take off Dumboya or something and put just Lomas in there just so that we've got an extra foot that can kind of help out with defensively. I thought that was kind of strange. Obviously, the flip side to that argument in my mind is, well, you can sub a forward out and you're not losing any perceived quality in the back line. Because at that point, you're pitching a shutout into stoppage time. So obviously, the crew that you have out there in the defensive shape is working. There's no sense to interrupting that and jeopardizing it with, you know, a trash time substitution. So subbing out Tejada is a safe play in that context. I don't know. That was kind of weird to me. To me, that was really strange. That's the only justification I come up for it, and I don't know if I'm even a big fan of it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the only thing I can think of was he was, you know, Neil was trying to give the maybe if there were some Cosmos fans in attendance a chance to see one of their former players, give them a little something to brighten up their day. Maybe who knows?
Yeah, Cosmos fans don't go anywhere. That's why they're Cosmos fans.
Yeah, this is true.
None of them were there.
They just keep going down to different leagues that are less and less. Anyway. Coming up this weekend, then, is the first of two trips the Rowdies will make this year to Ricardo Silva Stadium on the campus of FIU to take on the, actually, Miami FC. This is Miami's first year in USL, which makes doing a preview kind of hard because they've kind of jumped back. You know, they were in NASL with us for one season. We had an Open Cup game that I conveniently forgot about when I was talking to Drew, and then I realized it was just my memory trying to save me from remembering that game. So last year they played in Nisa. They were the fall season East Coast champion with a record of 4-2-0. They also played a squad in NPSL. They were in 2019. Finished 9-1-0 and won the NPSL championship. Mostly because they had a bunch of players that were really too good for that division. A lot of their guys that they had in NASL. Their last match, they lost last weekend 4-1 to St. Louis. Their head coach is a guy by the name of Nelson Vargas. He's been the assistant coach for a couple years under Paul Dugleish, former Rowdies head coach. Vargas himself is a former Mutiny and Fusion player, has 4 caps for the U.S. National team way back in the day. This is his first gig as a head coach, in at least in the U.S. I think he may have had a like 2-game stint somewhere before. There's really nothing to go on. There's, you know, Dugleish has moved up to become team president. There's really no kind of more explanation about it than that. They are playing at FIU Stadium, or as I like to refer to it, the Silva Dome, even though it's not a dome. Some notable players, some guys that names we've been familiar with in the past or have played for the Rowdies in the past. Romario Williams, the Charleston player, spent some time with Atlanta United last year, is usually a high goal scorer. Sebastian Velasquez played with, I believe, El Paso last season and was attempting to return, I think, to South America in the offseason. Didn't work out, and he's come back to USL. And their captain, and I didn't even know he was on the squad until I saw the rosters get pushed out last week for the before the game. Captain is former Rowdy Lance Roseboom. We'll see him again this weekend. They did, you know, kind of like you mentioned, struggle to a. Honestly, I put in here, I think we had to go back and fix it. I stopped paying attention to the match when they were down 3-1, and I put in the notes, lost 3-1 to St. Louis, and I got up the next morning and turned out it was 4-1 instead. Seemed to have a little bit of a rough time maybe developing their connection. You got a prediction for this weekend?
Yes, of course.
Wait, I shouldn't say weekend. Friday, 2 days from now.
Yes, the famous, epic, awesome road trip that we're about to embark on. Which, by the way, if you're listening to us out of market, the Rowdies supporter groups are anticipating on hopefully right around about 50 people making that trip down there, which, of course, for us ends up being the closest road game that we've had in, what, almost 3 years?
Well, since OCB dropped out of the
league. 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's about 3 years now. Or at least 2. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking, which is still, what, like a 4-hour drive is the closest right. game we've had, like, in forever. But, yeah, we're anticipating right around about 50 people, hopefully, showing up to that game. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be a heck of an atmosphere. Home openers always have a lot of people there in general. So that's going to be a great home support versus away support type of thing for them. The only thing that has me worried about numbers is if people are going to panic about coronavirus. That's the only thing that has me nervous about attendance for actually Miami. That's the only thing that I could see potentially impacting that.
I've asked for a comment from the Rowdies, and if there's any league information to pass along. When I talked to Drew, I did mention this. Miami, you know, there's no cases reported in Miami yet, in Miami-Dade County. They're actually having like a almost like the county fair is going on at the same time, or like right next door. And that's still on.
It's that thing again.
Yeah.
I remember that from a few years ago.
So he said, number one, like if that's going on, then it's safe to assume. And Miami has said the game is still on. Everything's still going as planned. Also expect parking to be kind of a mess because of that event going on. But just look for the Ferris wheels. They're not actually in the stadium, but they are kind of right next door. Yeah, we'll see. Although things seem to be moving pretty quickly at a state level, all the universities and colleges have been ordered to online instruction and stuff. So it's something to keep an eye and an ear on because that static is really kicking in. It's something to keep an eye and an ear on because it's definitely possible things could change in the next day or two. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, basically, we don't have any. One of the things I put in here, San Diego has already rescheduled their home opener, which was going to be this weekend until sometime in like July is when that's going to happen. Not their home opener, but just this game. Like they will have home games before then. I'm seeing stuff from NBA games that are like being called in the middle of the game. They're pulling players and people off the court and sending them back to locker rooms. Like they're, I don't know if they're like removing people from the stadiums or what's going on, but this is a situation that is changing pretty quickly. So we'll keep an eye and hopefully we'll still get to make that trip because I've got a seat on the Skyway bus and looking forward to it. It still feels weird to try and make a prediction because I don't feel like we really know our team well enough yet. And I don't want to, well, yeah, I do because I don't like them. Screw New York. Like, we got a win, we got a goal, we got the result. It's still hard to tell, like, to measure yourself up with that kind of result. Like, you know, I saw a lot of people talking about, you know, oh, Phoenix is back. They just reloaded. All this. Okay, you played Timbers 2. You should be scoring, like, 3 and 4 goals in a game. Like, there are some nice goals, and no one take anything away from them. They're obviously a very good team. But if this is your evidence, then that's not a lot of evidence. Let's wait and do this against some other clubs. So I think we win. I just don't know that I know what the score is. Like, could be a 1-0, could be a 2-1. We'll see.
I'm gonna say that the Tampa Bay Rowdies win 2-0 for this week at Miami. That's gonna be my guess for the week.
All right. Getting kind of nervous. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to throw in, and we're at that like 40-minute mark where you tend to start going wrong. So I feel like we should not tempt fate and just wrap this up. What do you say? All right. So are we love yous? I'm throwing mine out to Jake. Has gone to multiple Rowdies New York games in Red Bull Arena and Montclair State University, and has never gotten to see the home team win once. Did get to see it with a very partisan pro Rowdies crowd, which is usually something he only gets when he comes here. So shout out to Jake for that. Steven, who's your we love you?
My we love you is going to go out to Leo Fernandez's family and Loro's family and every other family that's up there, considering that like most of the Tampa Bay Rowdies at this point come from New York at some point or other.
True.
I absolutely love every single one of them for going out and supporting not just, you know, their guys, but the team in general.
Right.
Everybody that was there in New York, that's my we love you. I thank all of you. Any and all of you are welcome in the new standing section whenever you guys want. We would love to have you, I'm sure, as Rowdy supporters. Feel free to come up and introduce yourselves. That way we know who you are. And yeah, because that was fun. That was great to see the amount of people, and of course the highlight, of course, being, you know, Fernandez's crew up on the parking garage. That was incredible and awesome.
So that reminds me, there was something else I wanted to bring up. We saw the pictures yesterday, the club posted of the standing section, which it looks for all intents and purposes, complete, ready to go. It looks like you've got some nice wide, bars there to place your beverages up on. Did you see the picture that showed like the bottom bars? What are the bike lock looking things on there? Are those like, can you like put your foot in those and it like keeps you stable if you're standing up on the bar? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, they look like weird kind of stirrups or just, like I said, a bunch of like U-shaped bicycle locks stuck on there.
That was it's an in-progress photograph. Those were not necessarily completed photographs of the section yet.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't take anything into that. The one thing that I do apparently understand is going to stay is the bottom bar in general. If you noticed at where the seats used to be, that metal bar, that's actually going to stay, from what I understand. It's not an official like bench platform, but it is going to stay because it's providing the bottom half of the stabilization for the uprights themselves, for the upright pieces. So that is not getting taken out. So there will be basically like a footrest slash seat kind of thing there. But it's not going to be anything comfortable, and it's certainly not going to be very big. So that was the only notable takeaway that I had from seeing the in-progress shots so far.
Okay. All right. So continuing on, thank you. Oh, I was stepping on your line there.
Yeah, it's terrible of you.
I know.
We want to thank, of course, Wolfface providing our intro and our intro music specifically. We want to thank Radio St. Pete for giving us a platform to broadcast this show live. And, of course, Shamrock Pub for giving us the sponsorship that we always appreciate and our chances to do those pregame shows there.
Thank you to you guys, everyone who's listening right now or listening later on. Thank you for finding time in your schedule to listen to us. If please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. Helps put us out there in front of other people who can be afflicted by this, whatever this is, on a weekly basis.
Patreon, of course, continues to be the number one way that you can potentially support the show. Donations for that start as little as $1 a month. $12 a year can make you a Patreon member and lover of the show. I want to point out we're only about like $10 away monthly from seeing, I believe, is the next tier, which I believe is also you painting yourself up fully and coming to a game. I'm just saying.
Remind me, I got to go back and do some editing.
Quick, guys, get that extra $10 in. Like I said, if 10 of you go on there and do $1 a month, we're going to get that done before he edits it, and life is good.
No one wants to see that. Deep down inside, everyone knows no one wants to see that. The Patreon donations are what are allowing us to do things like pop and smoke, talking with a member, whether it's a podcast or I'm going to try and get a name a lot of people will be familiar with for next week. To talk about what's going on in those markets, give them a chance to promote themselves and what they're doing too, and give you guys some more insight besides the stuff we can dig up from TV and the internet. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. In fact, I don't know if you've been if you've seen it online on Twitter, they have a very special topical scarf that they're selling at the moment dealing with a certain medical apocalypse and involving a word that I'm not going to say live on the air that they are selling. It looks kind of fun.
Nice. I have not seen that, but now you have my curiosity piqued and I might go check it out.
I'll retweet it in just a second.
We also, of course, are you tired of having the same old cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas? Are you looking for something unique, completely custom for your youth club, your Sunday league squad, other adult of the night weeks, maybe your pro team, and you're listening and you're one of the team, somebody that's about to get started in one of the pro realms? Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you decide your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com.
All right, Steven, we made it.
We made it.
Yes. All right. Let's not tempt fate. I will see you in Miami on Friday. Good Lord willing, and the coronavirus don't spread. Other than that, let's go win a game.
We made it. We made it, and let's go win a game.
All right. I'll see you on Friday.
Go Rowdies.
The Rowdies were there, the Rowdies were there, they get along.